I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. I'm Eric Steven and this is Wednesday, June 8th. This week with the Dodgers in Chicago for three games. You know, some earlier start times relative to the normal West Coast games. We're going to sort of play it by ear. And live is the wrong word because you're getting this in the morning, but just sort of winging it after the game, seeing what happened. And we'll talk about it. A couple things happened in the opener. For one, the Dodgers didn't score. That's usually not a good recipe for a win. All the runs came in the sixth inning. In a span of four pitches by David Price, Phil Bickford started the sixth, gave up two hits, including a sort of a dribbler through the right side with two outs by Jose Abreu that extended the inning. That brought in David Price with a scoreless tie, two outs, two on. They pinch hit A.J. Pollock, old friend alert. His first time facing the Dodgers, hadn't really hit at all this year other than like the first couple games of the season. And he lined the first pitch into the right field corner for a two-run double. And then first pitch double to Jake Berger, intentional walk, and then an RBI single. And then all of a sudden the game was over. I mean, it was, you know, not over, but, you know, 4-0 at that point. And then the Dodgers didn't really score. They rallied a couple times or put a couple runners on and had some double plays. Just overall wasn't a very good night. We're not here to sort of harp on that. I will say the interesting part about this, and we'll find out, I'm sure, later Tuesday, but or maybe we won't. The word was before the game, and I will link to this in the show notes from the beat writers who were on site in Chicago, but Clayton Kershaw, his back, lower back area feels fine after the flight to Chicago, and the plan is for him to start this weekend. I guess they're not saying officially yet, but it pretty much lines up for Sunday against the Giants in San Francisco. After Mitch White pitched, Mitch White was really good on Tuesday. He pitched five innings scoreless. He didn't allow anyone to reach base till the fifth and then loaded the bases with one out and then got two key strikeouts. Just a nice piece of pitching from him. The only issue now is the Dodgers have four other starters between now and Sunday when Kershaw would slot in. So do you option Mitch White and bring up a reliever. My guess is that's what they'll do, but I don't have that good of a read on it. It's just sort of my guess on this for a couple reasons. There's about three off days coming. They just had one Monday. They have two next week with the two-game series against the Angels, and then the following Monday they also have off. So they don't really need a quote-unquote fifth starter, even if Kershaw's not ready, until about 15 days from when they would option White. So they can sort of get away with that. Now, there's also the matter of Andrew Heaney possibly being ready by that time anyway. So I think what they're going to do, this is a total guess on my part, is Mitch White could get optioned and they bring up a separate reliever. Because I think the issue is, it's always a matter of who are you more likely to use. And the reason they usually do that, if Mitch White's not starting this weekend or the next time through the rotation, he's unavailable, the next three, four games. So they'd rather have an extra arm up for that, for those games instead. We'll see how it goes. Now, you can't do that a ton this year, just given the limits on options. You can only option guys up to five times after May 2nd. So they can't go willy-nilly like they sort of did last August, when it was every single day they were calling up a new reliever and sending someone down, because also it was 10 days, now it's 15. So there's some, maneuverings that have to happen, but I think that's what they're going to do. That's my guess. But yeah, Mitch White did pretty much everything they asked. They didn't let him go through the third time through the order. The fifth inning was a very stressful, Dave Roberts said after the game. Then they just, of course, lost it in the sixth. So you can go, well, what if they kept Mitch White in? Well, they let him face the third time through the order's last start, and he went in a tie game. And he went walk homer to the first two guys at the top of the order. And so that broke the tie. So it's you win some, you lose some on that, I guess. But
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, overall, not a very good first game. The one highlight, though, Justin Turner had a single in the seventh inning off of Ronaldo Lopez. Literally off of Ronaldo Lopez, because I believe it hit his glove and sort of trickled behind the mound a little bit, and Turner beat it out easily. So, yeah, that was his 1,000th hit since joining the Dodgers. Only 35 players have 1,000 hits with the Dodgers. That's a pretty low number. I was a little bit surprised at that. I was looking at this. So Turner is sitting at 147 home runs. So he's tied with Adrian Beltre for 15th place in Dodgers history. If he gets three more home runs, he'd be only the 13th guy with 150 home runs and 1,000 hits with the Dodgers. So it's select company. The other thing about this, the sort of 2,000 hit club, Turner's one of only four Dodgers to do so that played with the Dodgers in the 2000s. And that includes Eric Karros, who did, most of his work in the 90s. But played with the Dodgers through 2002. He ended up with 1,732 hits. He has the most He has the most home runs in Los Angeles Dodger history with 270. I'm sorry, Karros has 1,608 hits. I was looking at the wrong line. But then the other 2,000s people, Andre Ethier and Matt Kemp, sort of the same timeline roughly for them, although Kemp was traded and then returned in 2018, so slightly different, but they're over 1,300. And then Turner is the only other one. So it's really hard to get 1,000 hits with one team. And it's just, I'm trying to look on here. Off the top of my head, I think he might be the only one. He's almost certainly the only one to have signed with the Dodgers on a minor league deal. So that's what happened after he got non-tendered by the Mets at the end of the 2013 season. Signed a non-roster invitee with the Dodgers in 2014. He's been one of the anchor of their lineup for a good chunk of that time. One of the most clutch players in franchise history. Just a great moment for Turner. I know he got to save the ball. I'm not sure how much of a memorabilia guy he is, but it was a pretty cool moment for Justin Turner, who's been with the Dodgers for a while and one of the most sort of beloved characters in or beloved players in Dodgers history. I'm looking through the list of Dodgers with 1,000 hits now. At the top of the list is Zach Wheat. He did not make an All-Star game, but only because his career existed before the All-Star game. I know on our weekly podcast, I joke with Jacob Birch a lot about when I give him an old trivia question. It's just good process to guess Zach Wheat, and you're going to be right every so often because he comes up a lot in these. But I was looking at sort of who... The Turners made two All-Star teams. The 1,000-hit Dodgers who did not make an All-Star team were Eric Karros, who played 12 years with the Dodgers. Jimmy Johnston also played before the All-Star game from 1916 to 25. Same with Jake Daubert. He did win an MVP, but he was pre-All-Star game. Same with Hi Myers in 2020 during the shutdown in the pandemic. I recapped the 1920 Brooklyn Dodgers season because we needed, we were trying to fill time while we were waiting for baseball to come back. And I sort of did a week in review of every week of that season. And it was actually kind of fun. It was a good sort of, it was fun to research that. And Hi Myers came up a lot during that. He was very active on that team, played a little bit all over throughout his Dodgers career. Then I'm looking at, most of the, pretty much all the 1,000 hit club other than, so you have Wes Parker, I guess, and then Babe Herman, and then Ron Fairley. These are players who played in the All-Star era but didn't make an All-Star team, and then Eric Karros. So, yeah, it's a bunch of guys who were very, very, very good. You're not going to get into this sort of group without being really good, and Turner's been really good. So good milestone for him. That's kind of all I got. Sorry for the lack of structure on this one. But yeah, so Dodgers lose the opener in Chicago. They lost three straight. Just back to Mitch White for a second. The other reason is, we've seen they just finished a stretch of 31 games in 30 days. They were so sort of taxed on the bullpen that they were going to use a position player at the end of a game they were trailing by five, although they weren't allowed to do that. And so they were kind of running on fumes. Craig Kimbrell's on the paternity list. He's not going to be available till the Giants series, but they brought up Phil Bickford today to cover that spot. So that's why another reason why I think they bring up an extra arm. I think they used today. I didn't see any of the postgame stuff, but you had Brusdar Graterol, who threw 26 pitches Sunday. That was the second day of a back-to-back. He had worked three of the previous 4 days, and usually when that happens, they try to give guys 2 days off after that. Now, you can't always do that. It's not ideal, but I think that's what they were sort of working with tonight. Alex Vesia pitched back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. Same with Evan Phillips. So you have to figure maybe they were also getting 2 days off. So it's so bizarre that even on when teams are carrying 14 pitchers, which means a nine-man bullpen, that you still have spots where you just have not a lot of guys available. So I think it's a situation where they will call up someone tomorrow. Now, of the players on the 40-man who have been optioned for at least 15 days, that's Garrett Clevenger if they go lefty, Reyes Maranta if they go righty. So look for that. We'll see what happens. But that's kind of it. We will talk about the middle game of the series tomorrow morning. But that's all for today. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will talk to you tomorrow.